Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, January 22nd, 2015. There's a deal signed in Arusha finally paved way for peace.
The main objective is to unify all the groups of the SPLM back to one movement and immediately undertake reforms in the party that will lead into reforms in the country.
And the SPLM in opposition says the Arusha deal will speed up the IGAD mediated talks in Ethiopia.
The impact is that it will accelerate the IGAD peace process. You know, we've got to discuss the issue of power sharing, you see, and power sharing with the reunification of the SPLM. Then the whole thing now shifts to power distribution rather than power sharing.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. With President Salva Kiir and rebel leader Riek Machar in attendance and various heads of states observing, all three factions of the SPLM ruling party signed an agreement in Arusha, Tanzania yesterday for reunification of their party in hopes that the signing will put an end to the fighting and get the country on the road to recovery. The three factions, the government, the rebels and a group of former detainees, agreed to comply with the cessation of hostility agreement, to use Arusha agreement and the talks in Addis Ababa to expedite the peace process and to end war, to publicly apologize to the South Sudanese people for the death and destruction that occurred since the fighting broke out on December 15, 2013, and to combat the culture of tribalism and sectarianism in South Sudan. They also agreed to embrace democracy and revoke President Kiir's dismissal of party leaders, which happened after the fighting broke out between SPLA loyal to the president and those loyal to Machar. As for accountability, the agreement states that any individual SPLM member convicted by a competent court or tribunal of crimes against humanity, war crimes, or gross human rights violation during the crisis shall not be eligible to hold public office in the party or government in the future. It remains to be seen whether the warring parties will adhere to the agreement. In Juba, hundreds of people, including party officials and supporters, turned up at the airport to welcome President Kiir and his delegation when they returned from Arusha this morning. SPLM officials say the Arusha agreement charts the path for reforms in the party and should be used to restore peace in South Sudan. For VOA News, Philip Thornaleu reports from Juba.
Akol Paul Kurdit, chairman of the SPLM Youth League and the spokesperson of the government delegation at the Arusha talks, says the Arusha agreement affirms the ruling party's commitment to restore peace in South Sudan this year. Kurdi says that by signing the agreement, the SPLM faction led by President Salva Kiir, the rebels known as SPLM in opposition under the leadership of former Vice President Riek Machar, and the faction made up of officials who were detained when the conflict began, agreed to work together again.
The main objective is to unify all the groups of the SPLM back to one movement and immediately undertake reforms in the party that will lead into reforms in the country. We have agreed on political issues, on organizational issues, and on leadership issues. All the contentious issues in the SPLM constitution shall be reviewed in the spirit of reconciliation and reunification.
The Arusha agreement recognizes that the division within the SPLM are among the root causes of the ongoing conflict in South Sudan. It says reunification and the reconciliation of the party are key to resolving the crisis, but it stresses that the talks in Arusha are just one step toward restoring peace in South Sudan. Kurdit says he hopes the Arusha agreement will make it easier for the warring sides in South Sudan's conflict to finally conclude peace talks brokered by regional bloc IGAD in Ethiopia.
This is not a final peace agreement, but this is an agreement meant to address the root causes of the conflict which started in the SPLM. This agreement is a watershed in the history of the people of South Sudan, is a cornerstone in our search for peace. When you solve a problem from its roots, then you'll have an opportunity to address all other consequences that came as a result of root causes.
Kurdit says the successful outcome of the talks in Arusha is proof that South Sudanese can reconcile their differences and work together.
This agreement shows the capacity and the capability of the people of South Sudan under the leadership of Comrade Salva Kiir Mayardit to solve their problem on their own. In Arusha, we were sitting alone. Chama Chama Pinduzi, the facilitator, which is the ruling party in Tanzania, gave us the opportunity to discuss and come up with solutions to our problem.
The agreement says top SPLM officials who were fired by President Kiir when the crisis first erupted in December 2013 will be reinstated in the party. That includes Machar and Pagana Mom, who will be reinstated as deputy chairperson and secretary general respectively. Could he decline to say when that might happen? Daniel Owenakut led the government faction at the talks in Arusha. He also thinks the Arusha agreement will help to finally end the conflict that has claimed thousands of lives, crippled the economy, and forced nearly 2 million people to flee their homes.
I'm grateful to people of Southern Sudan that your suffering will be stopped. You will see these people coming here in the next few days. You will find DF coming here so that the next will not start in Arusha, but start here in Juba. So we are here with you.
But Awet admits that there are issues that still needed to be ironed out, particularly with Machar's SPLM in opposition. He did not go into detail about what those issues are, but says he hopes they will be resolved at the talks brokered by IGAD. Those talks were adjourned last month, but are expected to resume soon. Nyala Deng Nyal is a member of the SPLM Political Bureau, the lead decision-making body of the party. Nyal is also the lead negotiator for the government at the IGAD-led peace talks. He says he expects the Arusha agreement will help move the peace process forward.
Peace is a process, it is not an event. The agreement that has been signed at least will make it possible for the group, the former detainees, to relinquish their opposition and come and become part and parcel of the political process.
Nyal threw a little bit of cool water on the agreement. He says that while the agreement reverses the decision taken by President Kiir, SSPLM chair, to fire top party officials, it is not certain that everyone who was dismissed from the party will return to the post they once held. The agreement is one of a series of commitments by the government and rebels to end the 13-month-old conflict. A clause in the deal urges the SPLM to use the Arusha process together with the IGAD talks in Addis Ababa to, quote, expedite the conclusion of the peace agreement in order to end the war. For VOA News, I am Philip Thonaleu in Juba.
Meanwhile, the head of the political committee for the SPLM in opposition says the Arusha deal should solve the dispute over power sharing. Peter Duok Nyaba says the warring parties will now focus on how to distribute power within SPLM. He says the leadership within the ruling party will soon agree on the pending issues that have stalled the IGAD mediated talks in Addis.
We signed the agreement for reunification. Reunification, of course, came as a result of the conflict that erupted in December 2013. So what we have signed is an agreement for reform. It's an irony that what has caused so much lives of people now, we were able to just arrive at it in just less than 2 weeks. What we have signed is a roadmap for really making, bringing about the reunification of the SPLM. And this is going to impact on the IGAD-mediated peace process.
What is the impact of this Arusha deal on the IGAD negotiations that have been going on and off?
The impact is that it will accelerate the IGAD peace process. You know, we've got to start the issue of power sharing, you see? And power sharing with the reunification of the SPLM, then we have the whole thing now shifts to power distribution rather than power sharing. So it's power distribution within the same party.
A lot of South Sudanese are still wondering. There are people who are saying democracy is a foreign language within the SPLM. Now that the SPLM is reunifying itself again, is democracy going to be a common language in that party?
Yes, Reunification is on the basis of reforms. That is, of course, strengthening democratic dialogue within the SPLM. We are going to have new structures. We have removed the practices that were in the SPLM, that instead of, for instance, secret ballot in the elections, it was always by show of hands or standing up, which was so intimidating. Now this is not going to be there. The other thing was that the constitution of the SPLM 2008 gave the chairman at the national and state and other levels 5%. You know, you had to nominate 5%. And this gave him advantage over the others in the context. So this one has now been removed. And every leader in the SPLM will have to be elected in a democratic way.
A lot of leaders within the SPLM in opposition or SPLM former detainees were dismissed from the party. And when I was looking at the Arusha deal this morning, there is no mention of them being reinstated. Could you clarify this to us?
Well, there is the provision on the revocation of decisions, wrong decisions made, which have really precipitated this crisis. So they are covered by that.
That's Peter Adwok, head of SPLM in Opposition Political Committee. He was speaking to me from Nairobi. The former Secretary General of South Sudan's ruling party says the Arusha deal will help the warring parties focus on the root causes of the conflict. Pagan Amum says the SPLM is now ready to address the leadership struggle and lack of democracy within the party. He says President Kiir and rebel leader Riek Machar have shown to the people that it is possible to reconcile and restore peace in the country.
Reuniting the SPLM, resolving the main points of disagreement and conflict in the SPLM organization. And this will pave the way for us to move to Addis Ababa to also end the war and sign a peace agreement that will usher South Sudan into peace and into a transition towards democracy. These are the right steps, and that is the where our focus should be.
Suppose the SPLM reunites itself today, President Kiir being the head of the party, Dr. Riek Machar, his deputy, and then you resuming your post as the Secretary General. What is it new that the SPLM will deliver this time that it did not deliver last year or before the crisis?
The SPLM will learn the lesson from its mistakes, from its failure to lead the people of South Sudan, and this will be the entire SPLM leadership. President Kiir has made mistakes, has misled the country, and he will learn lessons from this. Victor Riek Machar the same, myself the same, everybody. And therefore, our agenda is going to be an agenda of reform, an agenda of having learned lessons from our failures and mistakes in the past. We will be able to provide now a visionary leadership, a leadership that is more effective, that is more people's-oriented, a leadership that will lead the people of South Sudan to peace, to reconcile the people of South Sudan, to heal the nation, and to provide a leadership that will begin to build a state that is democratic, that will provide opportunities for all South Sudanese without any discrimination.
There are skeptics within South Sudan who are saying that they don't believe that President Kiir and rebel leader Riek Machar and Pagan Amun will again sit under one roof and talk about the affairs of SPLM. Do you agree with them?
I do not agree with them because, as we just said, that the news is that we are sitting under one roof in Arusha and discussing to agree. And we are already, you have also reported that we are signing an agreement. So we are already talking. We are already sitting under one roof. We are already agreeing. So the skeptics are just skeptical. They are allowed to be skeptical, but life is showing something different.
Let's talk about the future. Your party has not held its convention for quite a long time. Most of the leadership within the party kept postponing the convention. And these are some of the party mechanism for democracy within the party. If there is going to be elections within the SPLM today or tomorrow, are you vying for the top seat?
Our first SPLM priority now is to reunite the SPLM, reorganize it, revitalize it, and correct the mistakes that have been committed. This is the priority. We would then proceed to the second priority, and that is to organize the SPLM from grassroots upward through its congresses. The congresses will be adopting policies, positions, and clear programs how to take South Sudan out of this crisis.
That's Pagan Amum, former Secretary General of South Sudan's ruling party. Amum and 10 other senior members of the party were detained for 3 months for allegedly trying to overthrow the president in December 2013. The South Sudan judiciary dropped charges against Amum and his colleagues. Amum later formed another faction of the party, the SPLM former detainees. That faction participated in the Arusha talks. Amum was speaking to me yesterday from Denver, Colorado, here in the United States. Coming up, former EOTIN to South Sudan in focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, former Secretary General of the SPLM weighs on the government's decision to hold elections in June.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what makes your home village special?
My home, she's very special. There are mountains there, there are trees, so you go hiking, some physical exercises.
Well, I love my home village because of the lake that we have. So I love the setting of the lake and as well as the resources out of the lake, like the fish, the chambo and all.
What makes my home village special is that there's a lake, it is an island. A lot of people go there and see it, and because of that, I love it very much.
My own village being special to me in the way that I'll be able to know my backgrounds and then also knowing what my people likes most. So we as African peoples, we need to first know our village.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. 18 opposition political parties have filed a lawsuit against South Sudan's National Election Commission, or NEC, seeking an injunction to delay national elections set for June 30th of this year. Opposition politicians say the NEC is breaking the law by announcing an election date without permanent constitution or census, as it is stipulated in the transitional constitution. Philip Thonaleu has that story for VOA from Juba.
The 18 political parties formed a national alliance early this month to collectively challenge the ENC and the government about holding 2015 general elections. The coalition includes the largest opposition party, the SPLM for Democratic Change, or SPLM-DC, and the United Democratic Party, or UDF. Lema Kol, the chairperson of SPLM-DC, told reporters today at the Constitutional Court, which interprets South Sudan constitutional language, that the opposition parties went to court to stop the whole election process by declaring it null and void.
The reason we are doing that is not new to you. We have been saying all along that the priority is for the peace to prevail, because without peace you cannot have stability, you cannot have communities coexisting, you cannot have the atmosphere that is required for a free, fair and transparent election. This is another step in that direction, because we are seeing that the commission is insistent on going ahead with the process.
Akol says he has confidence that the Constitutional Court will pass the correct judgment on the issue. Stewart Soroba Budia, the deputy chairperson of the United Democratic Party, says the opposition political parties believe the NEC has violated the transitional constitution of South Sudan 2011.
The constitution says elections will take place when there is a permanent constitution, and there is no permanent constitution. Two, elections will take place when census is there, and it has not been done. This is a public issue. We are the voice of the voiceless. So I'm sure they will rule in our favor.
Soroba says the opposition has many options to pursue should the court reject the case. Officials at South Sudan Constitutional Court declined to comment on this story. Abednego Akuk, the chairperson of the National Elections Commission, sworn in 10 heads of state election committees in Juba on Wednesday. When asked about the threat of being dragged to the court by opposition leaders, Akuk says he has no reason to doubt that the Constitutional Court will rule in favor of the NEC. He insists the commission is only doing its job by implementing the provision of the Constitution that says the election must be held before 9 July 2015, when the term of President Salva Kiir comes to an end. Akuk says he will respond to the Constitutional Court through the Election Commission's legal team once step with opposition groups low switch. For VOA News, I am Philip Tonaleu in Juba.
Amum has an opinion on that story too. He says the decision by the Electoral Commission to hold elections in June is, quote, unconstitutional. He says the country is going through a national crisis and that the government in Juba should instead focus on stopping the fighting that has engulfed South Sudan for more than a year. He says the Kiir administration has no justification for holding elections this year under the country's transitional constitution.
How can you hold elections when more than half of the population of South Sudan are literally displaced and destabilized by this war? How can you hold elections when there is insecurity in Jonglei, in Unity State, in Upper Nile, in Lakes State, even in northern Bahr Ghazal? There is no way to hold elections, and the government was not ready to hold gubernatorial elections in that state.
But the head of the Electoral Commission is saying he is just following the Electoral Act, which is in the Constitution, which says that the Electoral Commission should be formed and then appoint officials and conduct elections timely.
The Electoral Commission is making a big mistake. The Electoral Act that is referred to and the program that is referred to starts first and foremost with formulation of a permanent constitution of South Sudan. The elections in the constitution that are referred to in the constitution are only referred to organized under a permanent constitution of South Sudan. Also, in the constitution there is reference, in addition to formulating a permanent constitution, that census should be conducted. Now, census has not been conducted. The constituencies have not been demarcated on the basis of the new constitution of the independent South Sudan. So what the Electoral Commission is doing, which is what the government has decided, is illegal, is unconstitutional, and it is immoral that they want to seek a legitimacy from very illegitimate situation and using very illegitimate instruments and tools.
But the government is also arguing that they don't want a power vacuum on July 9th this year, because this is the time when President Kiir's term expires, when the term of the current parliament expires, and so they are saying they are doing that to avoid a power vacuum in South Sudan.
There can be no power vacuum if the government prioritizes peace, reaching a peace agreement, and that peace agreement will provide a legitimacy to form a government of national unity that will urge South Sudan through a transition to take South Sudan out of this war and build peace, and to take South Sudan to formulate a permanent constitution for South Sudan with the participation of all South Sudanese people.
How can you talk about the government of national unity or formation of government of national unity when you have a house that is divided against itself? You have the SPLA, SPLM in opposition. You have the SPLM former political detainees. And you have the SPLM mainstream in Juba. Now, none of you are seeing each other eye to eye based on your differences and your political ideologies. How are you going to sit together in a government of national unity?
Precisely. That is why the national priority is not election. How can you hold election in a divided house, in a house that is under fire? How can you hold elections when SPLM, the political leadership, is divided into itself? How can you hold elections? How can you hold elections when there is no freedom in the country, when people cannot express their views freely.
That's Pagana Moon, former Secretary General of South Sudan's ruling party. He was speaking to me yesterday from Denver, Colorado, here in the United States. You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here are some of today's news headlines with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. 21 members of an international coalition against the Islamic State met in London today to discuss progress and strategies aimed at defeating the militant group. The meeting was attended by U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry, British Foreign Secretary Philip Hammond, and Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi. It's aimed at assessing achievements of the coalition and planning the next steps of the campaign. Kerry said tackling the threat of ISIS is the challenge of our time. He said that a lot of work still needs to be done, but that over the past 4 months, the coalition has gone from zero to stopping the militants' advance in Iraq. Witnesses say Houthi rebels remain outside the Yemeni president's house and palace a day after the two sides agreed to a deal to end a standoff in the country's capital. The agreement calls for the rebels to withdraw and to release President Abd Rabbah Mansour Hadi's kidnapped chief of staff, who remains in rebel custody. Mr. Hadi yesterday issued a statement pledging to scrap a proposed constitutional change that Houthis opposed. He says Houthis and members of the southern separatist Hirak movement have a right to be appointed in all state institutions. And finally, Ukrainian authorities say an artillery shell has hit a trolley bus in the eastern city of Donetsk, killing at least 13 people and sparking accusations of blame from both Ukraine and Russia. Ukraine's Prime Minister Arseniy Yatsenyuk published a statement on the government's website blaming what he called Russian terrorists for the attack in the city that has been at the center of a territory struggle between Ukrainian troops and pro-Russia separatists. Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said Ukrainian forces were responsible for what he called a provocation and a crime against humanity. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Damme.
And that brings us to the end of our show for this Thursday. We now leave you with the song Stop a la Guerre, which means Stop the Fighting, by Congolese superstar Fally Ipupa.
Stop a la guerre, stop a la guerre, stop a la guerre. Stop a la guerre, stop a la guerre.
Engaye, 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 mama.
Nalela, nalela, mama, agenda. Nalela, nalela, mama, agenda.
Ma, sante bumeringa baba.
We have been listening to Fally Ipupa with that song, Stop a la Guerre, which means, again, stop the war. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening, and remember to join us tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.